Support for Small Wonders on Siouxland Public Media comes from the Daniels Osborne Law Firm in the Ho-Chunk Center in downtown Sioux City, serving needs of clients in real estate transactions, business formation and guidance, and personal estate planning. More information is available on Facebook or at danielsosborne.com.
Remembering Ike. Those in the know were not particularly surprised to see Caitlin Bennett come on campus for her graduation, dolled up as she was, her mortar board decorated with a dare, her brother's assault rifle with scope slung over her shoulder. News stories claimed she was an outspoken Second Amendment advocate during her tenure as a student, and that she wasn't at all shy about shooting off her mouth about guns. Still, there was enough in the photo, she'd hired a photographer, to grab online attention. That gorgeous blonde mane flowing mightily over her back and a doll-like sleeveless dress hemmed up sweetly from mid-thigh. The assault rifle made it an odd getup, but then sex and violence never really go out of style. The photo went viral, more than 40,000 retweets and 20,000 likes. Some would say that her commencement getup was drop-dead gorgeous. Got her a gig on Fox and Friends, too. But I couldn't help thinking of the meditation chapel on the grounds of the Eisenhower Presidential Library and Museum, Abilene, Kansas, President Dwight D. Eisenhower's hometown. He's buried there, as is his wife, Mamie, as well as their son, Dowd, or Icky, as they called him, who in 1921 died at just 4 years old from scarlet fever. The biers of Mom and Dad are outlined in the floor of a quiet place lit mainly by what hues come in through the stained glass. Those of us who remember him or have spent much time thinking about World War II know Ike as not only the 39th President of these United States, but also the Supreme Commander of the combined Allied forces in Europe during that war. If you remember that, you will also remember D-Day, the operation he commanded to keep Hitler from world dominance. On June 5, 1944, the day before many of the GIs would travel across the English Channel, Eisenhower walked among them, greeting them, encouraging them, blessing them, really, all the while knowing full well that many of them were going to die on the beaches of Normandy. He knew that sad truth far better than they did, because he knew what lay in store for them when they came off those amphibious landing craft in the biggest seagoing operation in the history of mankind. Ike knew war. And that's why it shouldn't be ironic, I suppose, that someone who knew death at his own hands better than almost anyone, would have up there printed in stone on the wall above his tomb and that of Mamie, these lines from his speech he gave. Every gun made, every warship launched, every rocket fired signifies, in the final sense, a theft from those who hunger and are not fed, those who are cold and not clothed. This is not a way of life at all. Under the cloud of threatening war, it is humanity hanging from a cross of gold. That from The Chance of Peace, an address given in Washington, D.C. in April of 1953. The story of the young college grad shouldering an assault rifle to her college graduation reminds me of those words, of Ike in England one night in early June, waiting for the skies to clear over the English Channel, waiting and hoping and praying, and then I'm sure praying some more. And the words of peace this incredible man of war, a hero, chose to have scripted on the wall of his tomb in Abilene.
A place to stay, enough to eat. Somewhere old heroes shuffle safely down the street, where you can speak out loud about your doubts and fears. And what's more, no one ever disappears. You never hear the standard issue kicking in your door. You can relax on on both sides of the tracks, and maniacs don't blow holes in bandsmen by remote control, and everyone has recourse to the law, and no one kills the children anymore. No one kills the children anymore.